We're going to talk about bats now, though, and bats, up until maybe the last 2 or 3 years, were a type of animal, a species that terrified me, because I would have seen them quite a lot when I was down fishing down the canal or down on the River Liffey. But since, I suppose, I learnt more about them, they've interested me significantly. And we're going to talk more about them now with Kate McInnay. She is Head of Conservation Development with the Vincent Wildlife Trust. Kate, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks for having me on.
That, I think, is one of the most important things and one of the key points about bats is that they're misunderstood. And once you learn about them, they're not as terrifying maybe as some people might find them when they first see them or hear about them.
Exactly. And I think the fact that they're active at night and the fact that they normally hide themselves away from us by day and the fact that they have this amazing system for finding their way around at night in complete darkness, which we cannot hear unless we have access to special equipment, has created an air of mystery and misunderstanding. But we're dispelling that, and I know that the Kildare Bat Group have been doing a lot of work over the years bringing people out on bat walks, and it's really only when you get out into their environment and you have access to the bat detectors and you have somebody who can explain to you how the bats are living, how they're finding their way around, that you just realise how amazing they are.
Yeah, there are 9 species of bats in Ireland. Only 7 of them have been recorded in Kildare, 2 which have yet to be recorded, and one of those is the lesser horseshoe bat, which we'll talk about in the moment, because the government has launched an action plan to save those lesser horseshoe bats. When you mention the bat walks, and people have done those in this county, and then they get in touch with us and say, we had a great night out at the bat walk, it's usually done as part of Biodiversity Week, maybe in Donaghadee Forest or whatever. What are the environments that you would usually find bats in?
When we're doing a bat walk, we think like a bat. So where is a bat going to find its food? Anyone who walks along rivers or canals or along woodland, that's where you will find our greatest diversity and abundance of insects, and that's where you will find our bats. So when we're doing a bat walk, you will usually try and find somewhere where it's easy for people to park and easy for people to walk, but then after that you're looking for places where you will be likely to encounter maybe 3, 4, if you're very lucky, 5 species on a walk. So by going along to the edge of a river or a lake or a canal, that's where you'll find your Dobentin's bat feeding out over the surface of the water as it gets dark. You'll find your pipistrelles, your common and soprano pipistrelles sitting around a bit higher. And then if you're very lucky, well overhead, you might hear Leisler's bat.
Also, the brown long-eared bat has been recorded here in Kildare. Those that are rarely recorded in the county, the Natterer's bat and the whiskered bat, and then there is a certain type of pipistrelle that I won't know how to pronounce, a Nathusius pipistrelle, is it?
Correct, Nathusius pipistrelle, yes. When I started bat work first, we used to say we had 1 species, and then the geneticists alerted us to the fact that we actually had 2, echolocating at different frequencies. That to us didn't sound that different, but if you're a bat and your world is sound, it's a big, big difference. In the last 10, 15 years, we've had the Nathusies arrive to us probably via Britain, and it hopped there from mainland Europe, so it's a migratory species.
That's one that's yet to be recorded in Kildare. The other, as I said, was the lesser horseshoe bat. But those type of bats have been making the news over the last 24 hours because there is an action plan now to save those lesser horseshoe bats. Are they quite rare in this country?
They are, Owen, yes. We only have 13,000 of them. And when we consider that we but have maybe 1 million or more pipistrelles, it gives you an idea of the magnitude of the population. It's the only species that's restricted in distribution, and it's only found in the west of Ireland. So I like to think of it as the bat of the Atlantic Way, the wild Atlantic Way. So we're talking counties Mayo, Galway, Clare, Limerick, Cork and Kerry. And it has added protection because its needs are quite specialised in that it's not like all the other bats that you find that can land and crawl into a small opening. So they have a vast area of places that they can roost. Lesser horseshoe bats, you need to think of it as a swallow. So it needs to fly directly into its roost. So we're looking at old derelict buildings with missing windows and missing doors in a rural landscape. That's one of the reasons why it's at risk, is because it's losing access to those old buildings for various reasons. And the other reason is that it's very sedentary in that it tends to stay within 2 or 3 kilometres of its roost. And if there are gaps in the landscape, for example, if a new road is put in or if there's a lot of hedgerow removed, it's not able to safely fly from A to B. So there are some factors that affect all bats, but there's a number of them together are putting the lesser horseshoe at risk.
Yeah, they're described, Kate, as the most photophobic of the nine bat species in Ireland.
Yes.
For example, you wouldn't find them in lit up areas in cities or towns. And then I was reading more about them, and as you said, they can be found in old derelict buildings, because some people, when they think of bats, they think, right, these are hanging upside down out of trees, and that's where you're always going to find them. But they're coming in and roosting in old derelict houses, as you say, like birds, like swallows.
Yes. In Ireland, I suppose, because of our climate, our bats will always roost in safe, secure, dark places, so buildings. They will use buildings usually throughout the year, but definitely in summertime where they give birth to their young, and they just have the one baby each year, and even not every year. So the females will seek out safe, warm, secure, dark places in which to rear their young. And then in winter, apart from the lesser horseshoe bat, we simply don't know where our bats go, where they hibernate, but they will probably go in to holes and cracks in trees. The lesser horseshoe, we know, definitely goes underground because it is originally a cave-dwelling species. So it varies from one species to the next, but all of our bats are highly dependent on structures that we've placed on the landscape over time, as I suppose we've been removing the natural features they would have used, for example, extensive woodland.
And Kay, tell us about this action plan that the government have now launched to, I suppose, save the lesser horseshoe bat or preserve them in the country. It's a 5-year action plan, and I know yourselves at the Wildlife Trust were involved in drawing up some of it with consultations, etc.
Yes, we produced this plan with National Parks and Wildlife Service. We were delighted to have been asked to contribute and to co-author this plan. It's bringing together a lot of actions that some of which we've already been doing over the years, because there has been a lot of conservation work done for the species over time, but the challenges it's facing now are greater, and so we felt that we needed to have a more concerted and wide-scale approach, and that's why the action plan came into being. There are over 40 actions there, and various organisations and bodies have provided valuable information and support for the plan, so we're looking forward to rolling that out over the next 5 years. What we've done is we have really produced actions under four headings. So we have actions addressing the lack of roosts. So we're going to be looking at carrying out an audit of the known roosts of the species and assessing how well are they doing, what repair work might be needed, or are some of them deteriorating so badly that we may need to provide alternatives. So the first thing we do is look at roosts. Well, what are they doing? How well are they doing? And then we put together a funding proposal to try and repair and retain or create new roosts. So that's the roost actions, and there are others as well, but that's the main one, the first one we'll be addressing. We're then looking at connectivity, because as I said, this little bat needs linear features to fly along for safety reasons from A to B. So we'll be reaching out to other landowners to see can we continue and retain the connectivity around the main roost site. So within maybe 2, 3, 4 kilometres of the main sites that we know about in the west of Ireland, we'll be looking to liaise with landowners, and hopefully maybe under future agri and climate actions, we'll be able to fund maybe landowners and farmers to retain or to replace hedgerows that will allow the bat to move safely through the landscape. We're also looking at habitat in maybe hopefully providing more woodland for the species, because it is really one of our woodland bats. And then we'll be looking to share the information and provide information to the general public that they can enjoy this species, because it is a fascinating little bat.
It is, absolutely. And you can read more information on the vincentwildlife.ie website. Also the National Parks and Wildlife website have some information on it also. And if you want to get in touch with the local bat group here in Kildare, you can email kildarebatgroup@gmail.com. The lesser horseshoe bat is not yet or hasn't yet been recorded in Kildare, but there are 5 or 6 other commonly recorded species in the county, and as I say, you can get more information there by contacting the Kildare Bat Group. But Dr. Kate McInay is Head of Conservation Development at the Vincent Wildlife Trust. Kate, great talking to you this morning, very fascinating, and no doubt we'll chat again soon.
Thanks very much, and you're very welcome.
Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Kildare KFM.
Couple of texts then to catch up on. Mary in Newbridge has been in touch to say it's 24 degrees in Newbridge already, while Sean in Naas says it's 25.4 degrees Celsius there in the county town, and it's only 25 past 10. So let us know, is it hotter where you are? 0833 97 97 97. And we'll see what the average temperatures around the county are at the moment. Hi, Owen. The major failure of environmental and biodiversity conservation policy by the government, and especially by the Green Party, has been its failing to fully protect our native hedgerows. Outside the bird breeding season, it is far too easy for farmers and landowners to remove big areas of hedgerows from September to February. This can be clearly seen on satellite maps, hence the need for more and more action plans for species like the lesser horseshoe bat. So it's time for the Minister for Heritage to finally wake up and step up and fully protect our native hedgerows legislation. In Salins, the message into us here, 24.2 degrees at the moment, but still in Naas is the hottest in the county, according to our listeners. 25.4 degrees Celsius at the moment. Right, let's change tack then. And on the line is Sinead Ronan, Public Affairs Manager with the County Kildare Chamber. Sinead, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. The County Kildare Chamber Business Awards, which are powered by AirGrid and will celebrate the best of business in Kildare, are now open for start-up business, emerging businesses and SMEs right across the county, Sinead.
Yes, so we launched our awards there on Friday last week. Now, they're not actually officially open for applications until next Friday. You'll have to wait another week. But the 19th of August is the opening date, and then they're running, then the applications are running for a month until Friday the 16th of September. So okay, you'll be able to go to our website now from next Friday, the 19th of August, and you'll be able to apply online. So we'll have something for everything, for everyone really. Yeah.
So six independent judges will decide the finalists, and the eventual winners will be announced then on the 24th of November in the Killishy Hotel, where 500 key stakeholders and companies will celebrate the best in business in 2022. Is it open to more or less everyone then, or what kind of businesses can apply for this, Sinead?
It is open to all of our chamber members. So we, like, basically anybody who's a chamber member with a business, sole traders, small, like 2 to 5 businesses, small, medium enterprises, 50 plus, our multinational and international companies. It's open to everybody, basically. We have something for everybody. We have 15 awards, going from, like, excellence in community, international trade, excellence in communications, employee of the year, best emerging business, best performing small, medium enterprise, large business. So we have something for everybody. Now this year as well, especially, we are, I suppose, trying to support our businesses in relation to sustainability. So we have a couple of new awards there, with our Net Zero Achievement Award and our Sustainable Development Award. So, you know, it is trying to, I suppose, continue the journey that our, you know, that we're trying to take our businesses on in relation to becoming more sustainable as a business, embracing, I suppose, the climate action, climate action and targets, and trying to help our businesses through that.
I note as well, Alan Shine, the CEO of the County Kildare Chamber, he says that he expects a record number of entries this year, and I suppose that's on the back of what we've seen over the last 2 years with COVID. Businesses have been hit very hard, but it's good to get back in person now to have these awards.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you know, this is the first time now since November 2019 that we've actually had them. Businesses have been through a really, really tough time over the last 2.5 years with COVID. Now, the business, or the government support and everything did help everybody, you know, and kept businesses afloat. But, you know, it's really, you know, this is to celebrate that everybody is still here, that, you know, we're thriving as a county. Mm. You know, our businesses are doing really well. And, you know, it's just to celebrate, I suppose, 2022, and this is the first start now, and we're going to continue on the upward momentum that we've had in the last couple of months as well, especially with a couple of really good job announcements and stuff in Kildare.
And promises to be a great night then on the 24th of November at the Killishy Hotel. Keith Barry is going to be there as MC. Pink Champagne Band will be on hand for entertainment as well. So just give us the dates there, the key dates once again, Sinead. So nominations open online from next Friday, and the closing date then is?
The 16th of September. So you have a month to apply. So it's the 19th of August to the 16th of September.
Super stuff, and the very best of luck to all the businesses who are involved there. That is Sinead Ronan, Public Affairs Manager with the County Kildare Chamber. Thanks, Sinead. And as we said, opening date there is Friday, August 19th, next Friday until the 16th of September. Now, just before we take another piece of music, road closures around the county. Road resurfacing works will be carried out on the L1002 from Broadford to Moy Valley up to Carberry. Road closure is in place until 6 o'clock this evening. Diversion routes are in place and are clearly signposted. Road resurfacing works are taking place on the Craddockstown Road in Naas today until next Friday, the 19th of August, from 8 o'clock until 6 p.m. each day. Traffic management is in place in the form of a stop-go system, and footpath upgrade works at Osberstown on the Salins Road, just over the motorway bridge there. They are taking place today, working hours each day between 8 and 6 o'clock. Traffic management will be in the form of a stop-go flagman and temporary traffic lights. Teresa in Rathangan has been in touch to say it's 25 degrees in Rathangan. Beautiful morning out there in the west of the county. 24.2 degrees in Salins, 24 degrees in Newbridge, 25.4 degrees in Naas, and it's to reach around the 30 degrees Celsius mark today. Happy anniversary to my wife, Lorraine Duffy. We're 22 years married today. Lots of love from Patrick, and he's looking for a song from Codeline. We won't be able to squeeze it in between now and 11, Patrick, but I will say it to John Dunn. Maybe he could get some Codeline on the radio in the next hour or so. And Fintan Brett, the Mayor of Kildare, has been in touch as well to say that he checked out the Ballycane Junction yesterday as promised. The council have narrowed the junction for safety reasons. New cycle lane to Craddockstown School, new traffic and pedestrian signals. It's single carriageway on both the Ballycane and Craddockstown Road, and works at the junction does narrow it to the same width as the carriageway, making the crossing distance almost half of what it used to be, and therefore much safety for pedestrians. And as I said to you before the song there from Tom Baxter, there are road resurfacing works taking place on the Craddockstown Road in Naas from today until next Friday between 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock each day, and traffic management is in place in the form of a stop-go system. So just keep that in mind if you live up around the Ballycane Craddockstown area of Naas. Right, Christy Morrison is on the line. He's a Garda Sergeant at Clondalkin Garda Station. Good morning to you, Christy.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. A big weekend to look forward to in Allan Wood in memory of Ulick Burke. A fundraising auction is taking place this weekend in Glennon's Pub in aid of cancer research. Tell us more. Where did the idea of this come from?
Well, the idea stemmed from a conversation we had one night in Carrick and Shannon, myself and Tommy McKenna, Declan McGilligan. We were just talking, and our wives were just talking about Ulick Burke, how he had touched so many people around the locality, both where he was from in Naas originally and when he moved out to Allan Road. And we, with COVID and everything, no anniversary or function could happen. So we just said we'd have something in his memory. He was a larger-than-life character. He was a wonderful person. And we approached Kathleen and Catherine David, his wife and two children, could we memorialise him in relation to something? And we got the idea that we would do something for cancer research. Ulick passed away within a short period of being diagnosed with cancer, and it was a big loss to everybody in the area, and especially his wonderful wife and family. So we got on the idea that we'd look for donations and look for prizes, etc., and we put an auction together, and you cannot believe the response from the community. There's still prizes and still items coming in from people wishing to be associated with Ulick and wishing to be associated with cancer research. Like, we can always say that there's not one family in the country that has not been touched by the ravages of cancer. And if we can do something small or anything at all, just to raise a few quid that will go into research to break this cycle, and that's what we just basically did. And we are where we are now on Saturday night, and I hope people turn out and support the event, because it is a wonderful event. And if you're with your I would like to go through a few of the prizes, if possible, or a few of the items.
Absolutely, Christy. We'll get to those now, but I think it's a great idea. Well done to yourself and to Declan and to Tommy for coming up with the idea and getting the wheels in motion. And it's taking place in Glennon's Pub tomorrow night in Allen Wood. The prizes are brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, there's so much to go through. Maybe go through the top 5 or 10 prizes there, Christy, because they're great.
There's a few real niche items for auction that would be wonderful for some people if they were listening in. For instance, there is a pair of riding breeches donated by Shane Cross, the leading Irish amateur attached to Joseph O'Brien's, and all the leading jockeys have signed it without a moment's hesitation. The likes of Kevin Manning, even Ryan Moore was over from England last week, Holly Doyle, Niall McCullough, all the leading jockeys have signed that. That would be a wonderful thing if one of the pubs would like to come and buy that and put it in their premises. There's a jersey there signed by the Kildare legend Johnny Doyle. There's another wonderful item donated by Ulrich's very good and old friend, an old friend from school, but a sparring partner across the Allen Parish, because he's a Ballateague man, but we're wonderful together in getting together in Nafina many years ago, Frank Moore. And Frank has donated three wonderful items to the auction. There's an War of Independence / Irish Civil War, and thankfully it's decommissioned, because we don't want to be responsible for anything. But it's a decommissioned Lee Enfield 303 rifle that would raise interest in people. There's an electric bicycle. With the current prices of fuel at the moment, electric bicycle that goes up for 25 kilometres and a range of 45 kilometres. And there's a vintage Irish rally bike, circa the 1950s. It's an ex-army issue bike. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
We also have passes for Punchestown for the year, the Curra race course. I must thank the management of both of those. Mondello race track. There's Jimmy Hyland, the Kildare star, has promised an hour's coaching session for any team, be it underage or adult, within the county or beyond. A load of topside to the value of €1,000. 5 tonnes of dry black turf, which is an energy crisis too, very important.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of prizes, Christy. I mean, just looking as well, there's also a meet and greet at the Gordon Elliott Racing Yard. So much more, and then there's going to be a raffle with spot prizes as well. All taking place tomorrow night at Glennon's Pub in Allen Wood. And you can find out more details there on social media or get in touch with any of the lads, Christy, Declan or Tommy McKenna, or just turn up to Glennon's Pub tomorrow night. It's all in memory of Ulrich Burke, a fundraising auction in aid of cancer research. A brilliant, brilliant idea, and the very best of luck to all involved. Thanks, Christy.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. National Heritage Week. In association with Kildare County Council, Kildare.ie or at Kildare Heritage.
One of my favourite weeks of the year, National Heritage Week. So much history and heritage within Kildare. And on the line is the Heritage Officer with Kildare County Council, Bridget Loughlin. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not. I can't believe that it's Heritage Week already. It seems as though this year has just gone so, so fast. And it only feels like last week I was out doing some of the heritage walks around the county. So
I know. It just rolls by. But you know what? Isn't it great with good weather for Heritage Week?
Absolutely.
We're crossing our fingers.
It's going to be a great weekend,
yeah.
And everything kicks off tomorrow. What have we got in store, particularly tomorrow and Sunday, Bridget?
Tomorrow, the 13th, we have an interesting project. There's a dovecot down in Moon Abbey, and it's a remnant of an old castle that was converted to a dovecot in the 1800s, and they're actually preparing a conservation plan for the dovecots with a view, I suppose, to conserving it in time to come. But they're giving a presentation on that conservation plan in Moon Abbey at 11 o'clock. So if you're interested in Moon Abbey, Moon High Cross, any of that heritage, and it's a lovely part of the county, I recommend you drop in. We also have some lovely events happening in Lullymore and on the bog. So one is the first one is exploring the fragility of the bogland wet biodiversity. So that's happening at the Bogavanna Nature Centre at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And then a lovely walk that's always great fun, and it's again south of the county. The Barn Hill Development Association will take you on a walk of Kildoon Wood, with led by Michael Jacob. And it's a lovely walk in, well, I call it south of the county, but it's kind of Suncroft area. Not Suncroft.
Castle Downs?
It is Suncroft, sorry, I mixed that area up. Then we have the annual Heritage Week guided tours of Kildare Town, so you can drop into the Heritage Centre in Kildare Town and they will take you on a lovely walk around Kildare Town, and it's a great way for new people to the town to learn about the history and heritage of the town. Tom will be there and Mario will be leading walks all week. There's a number of events, I'm not going to go into them, but in Castletown there's events all week long in Castletown, so I would suggest drop over to Castletown, see what's happening. If there's nothing on, stay and have a cup of coffee, because then there'll be something on at a later stage, yeah. Or just take a walk around at the gardens. I mean, the gardens there are fantastic. I was chatting to actually Rory, is the head gardener, and he was telling me about his wild farm meadows, and they've actually reached what's called, they're getting to the stage of Annex 1 habitat, which is really important, like habitat for wet folk grasslands. So they're really good grasslands down in front of Castletown House. So if grasslands are your thing and wildflowers are your thing, probably not the best time of the year to go. Maybe plan going a bit earlier next year, but still, you know, it's lovely down there. Some other things that are happening: the Steam Museum in Wall Garden is open from 2 to 6, from the 13th to 21st. That's all week long. And then if you drop into the Kildare Library, you can take part in you can look at an exhibition of Josephine Hardiman's book on the Book of Kildare. Josephine has been putting this Book of Kildare together for a number of years now, and it's coming to a culmination. So if you can drop in there and see her latest pages. But something else you can do around Kildare as well is Bernard Gibney is going to bring people around the town on an urban foraging walk. So there's two walks on Saturday, one at 11 and one at 2, meet at the market house, and he'll take you around the town and show you what's there that you can eat, turn into pesto and cook up, and it's lovely. Another really nice place to go if heritage is your thing, or built heritage is your thing, on Saturday is a drop into Kildrought House. It's a merchant's house on Main Street, Selbridge. It's a beautiful house that goes down to the Liffey, and that's owned by June Stewart, and June will give you a fabulous tour. And I haven't mentioned booking for any of these things. Some of these events do require booking. Some of them are limited in number. So I would suggest that if you want to go to any of these events, maybe to check in and book. The other event that's happening, and I know you had, or maybe you had Councillor Shamie Moore on about this already, is Shamie is leading a series of guided walks throughout the whole week of Heritage Week for Old Town Domain. Now, as we all know, the Old Town Domain in Naas is closed generally to the public, but Shamie is going to take people on the tours of the site all week long, but you do need to book for that, and he's limiting the numbers to 20, and the reason we're limiting it to 20 is it's quite unsafe on grounds, but also it's a very sensitive site. There's some very rare orchids in there and other very rare plants, because obviously it hasn't been open to the public. So, but it is a great chance to get in. You need to book that, and you need to book it through the Parks Department. So if anyone's looking for any kind of information, just before we talk about Sunday, any kinds of information, I suggest they go to two places. One, we've actually produced a guide, a little Kildare guide, and it's available in libraries, bookshops, around the county, or Kildare County Council offices, obviously, or you can go online to heritageweek.ie, and the countrywide listings are there, and there's 1,600 events across the country this year. It's down on other years, but we're getting back up again.
Yeah, there's so much going on, Bridget. Just maybe some of the highlights then on Sunday, briefly, if you would.
Yeah, quickly then, Sunday. Sunday then, more biodiversity. If biodiversity is your thing, you drop into the tan yard and biodiversity, and there's a whole event around working with biodiversity, the workshop on biodiversity there with Suzanne Bean, and she'll teach. It's getting involved in doing stuff with biodiversity. You can also catch up with the Ballyshannon Action Group at 12 o'clock and at the Ballyshannon Hall, and they're doing a walking tour around the Ballyshannon area on the history and heritage of the Ballyshannon area. And those little community walking tours are great because it's run by locals who show you stuff that you didn't know was happening in your area. There's also a grave rubbing workshop in Kilkee Castle with Angelina Foster, and that's at 2 o'clock on the 14th. You do need to book for that. One you don't need to book for is the annual Hill of Allen tour, and that's been run this year by the new group in Allen, the Allen and Allen Wood Heritage Group there. And two other really nice events then, actually, when I've already mentioned the Steam Museum, but one other thing I would like to mention, for those that can't get out but would still like to get involved in Heritage Week, we actually have a number of download apps around the county, so I'm calling it Armchair Heritage, so you can stay at home and download these apps. So if you go onto the Clare County Council's website, pull up the Heritage Week guide, there's actually a QR code on the page for about six audio tours of places around Kildare, or audio tours of the things in Kildare.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, you catch your breath there, Bridget. I don't know how you managed to get through all of that, what's happening on Saturday and Sunday, but so much over the next week or so. More details on heritageweek.ie, and we'll have Bridget back every day next week to go through the events that are happening on each particular day. And don't forget as well, as always, we'll have KFM's Town Histories and Famous Kildare People slots on every show from tomorrow morning, and you can hear and learn something like this about Strafan.
Supporting Kildare's wealth of local history and heritage.
Strafan is a small but very attractive village. On the outskirts of the village is the Keg Club, a five-star hotel which has been the venue for the Smurfit European Open on a number of occasions while it hosted the Ryder Cup in September 2006. The Irish for Strafan is Srohan, which means a stream. The area also has the Guinness Steam Museum, where people can visit the power hall displaying full-size live steam engines, a walled garden and other facilities in the area of Strafan. On Srohan, the stream.
KFM supporting Kildare's wealth of local history and heritage.
National Heritage Week, in association with Kildare County Council, kildare.ie or at Kildare Heritage.
Yeah, let's turn our attentions now to sport, and on the local GAA scene, all attention is on the hurling at the weekend, and Tommy Callaghan, sports editor of the Leinster Leader, is on the line. Good morning again, Tommy. All the games on Sunday in the UPMC Senior Hurling Championship Group A and Group B. If we start off with Group A, and in Mangard plus Hawkfield at 2 o'clock, it's Coyle Dove against Clane.
Yeah, the bottom two teams in the group, Shane, both of them have lost their opening two games, so Coyle Dove probably you'd expect them to do it a little bit stronger than what they did. Probably unexpectedly, they lost the minute. But then Minota are probably on the up and up a bit. Overall, you'd expect Kyle Love to get the better of Clane. Might be a lot in it, but I think Kyle Love should pull through there.
Yeah, the other game in Group A then is in St Connolly's Park, also at 2 o'clock, and it's Naas against Maynooth. Maynooth just coming up from intermediate, of course, last year. Naas, the reigning county champions. This is going to be a very tough test for Maynooth.
A big test for Maynooth. Now, there's no doubt Maynooth are making great progress, not only this year, over the last 2 or 3 years, and they're making very, very good progress. As you say yourself, this will be the biggest test for them. Can't really see them beating Naas. I mean, Naas, after two games, they have a scoring difference of plus 51. That'll give you an idea. You know, I mean, Maynooth are next best in that group at plus 5. So Maynooth are in for a testing time, and again, you can't really see anything bar a comfortable win for the champions.
Yeah, both those games throwing in at 2 o'clock, and we'll have updates with Seamus Dillon and Ger McNally on Sunday Sports Beat. Then at 3:45, the two games in Group B, Tommy. It doesn't get much more tastier than a game between Leixlip and Selbridge, and that one's in Mangard plus Hawkfield.
Yeah, Leixlip and Selbridge. Selbridge are on top of this group, which is Group B, also known as the Losers Group, of course. Selbridge won 1 and drew 1. And Leixlip have lost their opening two matches. But big derby match. Look at Selbridge. Selbridge will probably come out on top of this one. The last day, was that their last match against Confy, I think it was. And they looked to be comfortable that day. And then Confy came back and deservedly got an equaliser. But I think Selbridge have too much on the day, and Selbridge should win it.
Yeah, the other one is between Ardclough and Confy. What way do you see that one going? That's in St Connolly's Park.
Yeah, this will be a tight one, a very tight one. As I say, Confy looked to be in trouble the last day against Selbridge, but they certainly stuck at it. and would be disappointed that they didn't win it, because they had a chance, a couple of frees near the end to win it, but they didn't convert them. Art Lock, they're always a hard enough team to beat. A very, very tight one to call. I'd probably give it to Art Lock just about. Coffee are a bit hot and cold. Neither of them are kind of at the minute playing to the best of what you'd expect them, but maybe Art Lock might just come out on top on this one.
Okay, as I say, we'll have updates of all four of those Senior Hurling Championship games on the Sports Beat programme with Dermot Nally and Seamus Dillon. You can read all the reports next Tuesday in the Leinster Leader, and that is sports editor with the paper Tommy Callaghan with a look ahead to those games. There's also a triple header in Mangard plus Hawkfield in the Senior B Hurling Championship. Moorfield against Aero Curraquil tomorrow at 2, at 3:30 at Sarsfields against Selbridge, and then at 5:00 Kilcock against Naas. Also sticking with sport, and a Kildare athlete is mentioned today across the papers. Of the 8 spots available in Sunday week's 800 metre final at the European Athletics Championships in Munich, John Fitzsimons expects 2 Irishmen to be at the starting blocks. The 24-year-old has built up a budding rivalry with Mark English, one of only 3 members of the 35-strong Irish squad destined for Munich with a European medal in his possession, and both men harbour realistic ambitions of making the final on the 7th of August. Fitzsimons won the national title in 2021, but the 2-time Olympian won their duel in Santry early this summer before the Donegal native was edged out of a place in the World Championships last month. The Kildare native is 6th on the all-time Irish fastest list over the distance, and picked up a 2nd place at the Stockholm Diamond League in June, while English comes into this week ranked 8th in the men's 800 metres. And also, just before we take a break, Irish Athletic Boxing Association Chief Executive Fergal Carruth and Chairperson Kieran Kerwin have announced their resignations from their respective roles. A statement last night confirmed that both men have notified the Board of Directors and will stand down on the 2nd of September. Kerwin served as chairperson of the IABA since 2019, while Carruth was appointed CEO in 2013. Last month, Minister for Sport Jack Chambers confirmed that all state funding for boxing would be cut, with the exception of money earmarked for athletes in the high performance unit, after IABA members voted overwhelmingly to reject proposed governance reforms at their EGM in Roscommon. Carruth said that he is departing the role with a sense of regret given the controversy that has engulfed the governing body recently, but is hopeful his decision will help in the long run. That is our look at the sport this morning. We'll take a break before we wrap up.